Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Gimel, and we were right up to the next part of the Mishnah, Shechator Shalola Ochlav, and now we have a list of things that you did with the Korban Pesach, which are pasul the Korban Pesach, and in all of the cases that you pasuled it, so then you would be chayev if you were Mechal Shabbos by doing it. So we're going to go through each one of the cases. Shalola Ochlav. So, well, obviously, I mean, the Mishnah before, and the Perek before, said that if you shechted shalolo ochlav, that you're it's going to be pasul. So if it's pasul, then on Shabbos you're chayev. I mean, that's just obvious to anybody, right? Well, because since the last part of the Mishnah was teaching about you're being putter, and that is if you shechted bein lo ochlav or shalolo ochlav together, so I wanted to contrast it. What are you talking about? That part is also pshita. I don't understand. All you did was transpose a mission that we had earlier that talked about all of the cases where the Korban Pesach is pasul and all of the cases where the Korban Pesach is kosher. And then you took that Mishnah, and like you're talking to a bunch of retards, you take those cases, and you need to tell me the obvious point that all the cases where we said the Pesach was pasul, if you did it on Shabbos, you're chayev. Now you go through them laboriously, just in case I'm too dumb to figure it out. And then you tell me all the cases that the Korban Pesach is kosher, then you weren't Mechal Shabbos. Gee, thank you very much. What do I need that for? Mishum detan to save a potter? Achinami hainami pshita. I mean, obviously, since it's kosher in that Mishnah, so over here you're putter because you brought a perfectly good Korban Pesach. So the only real reason, okay, is because since we needed to start our Mishnah by talking about Shelo Lishmo, and Shelo Lishmo begins a cascade of other things, Shelo Lishmo, Shelo Lochlav, La'arelim, Litmeim, and so on and so forth. So because we started with that series, so we continue on going. So Tani Nami Shelo Lochlav. Excuse me, but what do I need to know that if we're Shelo Lishmo? I don't get it. I don't need that case either. Even the first case is ridiculous. There's no Kiddush in the Mishnah telling me that if the Korban Pesach is Pasul, that they're from Mechal Shabbos. Well, not that exact case, but I did need to get into the Machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua about what the din is of Torah Bidvar Mitzvah, right? Okay, so I needed to get to that. So in order to get to that, so I started off with the two cases. One case being where I shechted the Pesach Shelo Lishmo, and the other case being where I shechted something else by changing its name like a Shlomi for a Pesach. So that followed naturally. Once that followed naturally, I was able to tell you, well, in that case, it was Bekayim a Mitzvah, and it was started a Mitzvah according to Rabbi Yeshua Yitzpater. Fine. Amalei Ravuna Bar Chanina Livrei. Listen, my boy, when you get to the yeshiva, okay, you're going to come to Rabbi Zreika, ask him that this whole sugya doesn't make one bit of sense. How come nobody has ever thought about this before? What do you mean you're chayev achatas for being mechal al Shabbos by making the Pesach that's pasul? And what did you do wrong? What'd you do? You cut its neck and it was bleeding? That's mekalkel. The din is if you hold mekalkel b'chabura is butter. So then how does this whole mission make any sense? All you did was you cut up something and wrecked it. So when you do things that are mekalko, it's not a melechas makshevas on Shabbos, you should be potter. So, l'divrei omer mekalko v'chabura potter. You tell me, you shechted it shalola ochlav, you're chayev. Why are you chayev? There was nothing that you did that was useful. My tike. Well, no, I did make a takana because look, if Lamaisa, somebody would bring this up and put it on the Mizbeach, would I take it off of the Mizbeach? No, because it would be a classic example of a case where a carbon was nifsal by something in the Azorah, and then the din is, im alu lo yerdu. So basically, I lifted the status of this carbon to be something which is roy to the Mizbeach in the event that it was put there. So that's a takana of some kind. That level of takana is sufficient that it should not be called a mekalka b'chabura. What we're about to do is go through a number of steps, each one of which is going to bring us to a broader and broader idea of what the takana could be called if you hold mekalka b'chabura as part. And as Rabbi Hanano points out, this is something that is generally seen in Gemaras, in which we first take a restricted theory and then we point out with new data, well, how are you going to handle that? We broaden the theory. Then we bring in new data. How are you going to handle that? We broaden that theory. then we bring in yet more data. And we have to get finally to the underlying issue that we need to deal with. And there's a beautiful expression of that Rabbeinu Chanana. Okay, so the first thing we ask is, what would be the case if you did it Shalola Ochla? If we said, well, you'd be able to, if it were on the Mizbeach, you wouldn't take it off. Oh, yeah? Well, how about the case of Shechtigin, and it turned out to be a Balmum, which was also mentioned. I mean, a Balmum that's put on the Mizbeach, you're going to have to take off of the Mizbeach, so you didn't do any Takana. Well, maybe that would be talking about a Balmum where it had a cataract. And it would be going Alibi Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva says, since there is no psul of that mum on a bird, so because of that, even imolu lo yerdu, even that. Oh yeah, says the Gemara. And how about if it was found out to be a treifa, and treifa beseter was the other case that we had, and over there, what possible thing you did, it says only if it was found to be a treifa in it was beseter. Isn't that clear that if it was begalui that you would be chayev? So why would you be chayev? Nobody says under any circumstances that we should leave a treifa on the Mizbeach. Sorry. There's no Rabbi Akiva in that case. What are you going to do then? Ah, you're right. Okay, so we're going to have to broaden this concept of takana. There's a takana, because if it had died on its own, then it would have been metame. But now that you shechted it, it's not going to be metame as an avela. So that's a takana. So you don't have to worry about the Mizbeach. The very fact that it was nishchat is a takana. Masker for Ravina, okay, what are you going to do about this case? Here it says, if somebody shechs a chatas on a Shabbos outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and he throws in that he's doing this as for Avodah Zorah. Okay, so now he did three Isurei Koras, Shchutei Chutz, Shchita on Shabbos, and Shchita L'Avodah Kerchovim. And it says over there he's going to be chayev three separate chatos. Go ahead, tell me what possible good he did over there, because it didn't help him that he shechted it, because something shechted for Avodah Zorah is going to be even more metame than it would have been otherwise. Ha! It's metame like a mace. What are you going to do then? Amar Rav Avira, well, we'll have to broaden the concept of takana. You know what? He shechted it, didn't he? I mean, he killed it. Is it an Avram and a Chai? No. Okay. So now if a goy would eat it, would he be chay for Avram and a Chai? No. Okay, good. So he did a good deed. So basically, he was certainly metakein it by killing it. Okay. Next thing in the Mishnah that we had, if you found out that there were no owners. How were there no owners? Well, in that old world that's so inconceivable to us nowadays, where people used to be there in the morning and disappeared in the afternoon and were thrown into some hole somewhere, absolutely crazy kind of world. So maybe everybody died who were the owners. Or maybe they deregistered themselves from the korban, right? So he finds out after he goes in and he does the shechita, he finds out there were no owners. Okay, so that would be the case. It says he's potter from a chatas. Amar Ravuna, Amar Rav. Now here's a fascinating discussion which has a great deal of relevance to this halacha because it's brought as the initial. Remember, we started off with our Mishnah as wondering whether you need it to be menatek something. Are you oker it or is it automatically neka? Here we get into this problem again. Now, it seems to be discussing something that is irrelevant. We're going to see how relevant it is. Amar Ravuna, Amar Rav. If you had a korban asham, and that korban asham was nitek l'ri'ya, and you shechted it, it would be kosher as an ola. So let's get the case straight. Remember that if a chatas, if the owner of the chatas gets a kapora from another korban, what's the din? That is one of the chamesh chata'ot hamitot. The din is that an asham in the same situation as any of the five chata'ot hamitot would be set out to pasture. We wait until it gets a mum, and then we're able to sell it, and we use the money, as we'll see, it's a machlokas, as we pass, can we use the money as kayetz hamizbeach, which is put into one of those pushkas when you walk into the Beis HaMikdash. Now, over here, Rav comes up with this idea that in the event that you had already put it out to pasture, and somebody shechs it without having any kavana, the deal is that without having any kavana, it's still automatically kosher as an ola because it's no longer ro'i for an asham and it's already outside grazing. So apparently he holds lo boy akira. So then Rav must say you do not need to consciously say this is no longer an asham, it is now an ola. Because says if your guy did it stam. So there was absolutely no intent and there was certainly no proclamation as to what it is. the problem is, but if that's so, why did he stipulate that it was already nitik l'ri'ya? And if it wouldn't be nitik l'ri'ya, should be the same thing if it's automatic, no? That's a different question. The reason why it needs to be nitik l'ri'ya is because if l'maisa, it was still in the guy's barn, and he had been mischaper with another carbon, and somebody comes along and checks it, and we would say that, oh, well, it's kosher as an ola, then people would think that you could actually bring an asham as an ola if you want to, even if the balim had not been mitchaper with another asham, you see? Because they wouldn't have noted any evidence that this thing was already not meant to be used as an asham. Therefore, we make a gezeira that since people were confused before the kapara of the baal and with after the kapara of the baal, we can't let you use this right out. That's just the gezeira. Gezeira liachar kapara otel lefnei kapara. Well, how do you know that we make a gezeira like that? Minotemra. No, that I can prove to you. That's well known because we have a mishnah in Temura that basically says that about the case. Asham shemetu baalav. That's this case, right? Either any, if the owner dies, that's one of the chamesh chatos hamesos. If nischapru bala b'acher, if the owner is mischapru, one of the chamesh chatos hamesos. So the case of the asham, what's the din? Yir eh achi yistaev, wait until it gets a mum, sell it, and then yipluda mavla nidava, it goes to the nidvas tzibor, which is called the kayetz hamizbeach. Rebbe Eliezer says, no, the Torah says, ki chatat ke asham. If the din is that the chatat has to die, then the asham has to die. So he disagrees with the entire concept. And Rabbi Yoshua says, well, you wait until it gets a mum. Yes, I agree with the Tanakam in that, but you use the money to bring an oila for yourself. You ain't bring the money for an oila to the dova, which is given to Kayetz HaMizbeach. And therefore, this can be for your own oila. Okay, now, this means you can use its money. You cannot use the actual animal. Now, why can't you use the actual animal? There is no difference between using its money and using the actual animal. If you could be oker the kedusha of the animal for an oila from an asham, why can't you use the animal itself? And the Gemara over there said, because there's a gezeira that if people see you using the animal, then we're gozerly acher kapara or to lifnei kapara. So in order to make sure that people won't think that there's such a thing as simply taking an asham and bringing it as an oila, we make that takana. Okay, so then that means that we're well aware that that takana exists. And that would be the reason that Rav would say it over here. Now, so that would mean that Aliba de Ravuna, Rav held that you do not need akira. And even if you shecht it stam, an asham that's meant to be brought as an oila is an oila. Asks Rav Chisda to Rav Huna, what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says, if you shechted a carbon Pesach, and subsequently you find out that the owners had died, or that they had registered on a different carbon, so then you're not chayev your chatas. And in the Braita it says, and this is how it relates to our sugya, if it weren't that today is Shabbos, you know what you would need to do with this carbon? You would burn it on the spot because it's completely, totally puzzled. It's nothing to do with it. Now, the problem is that you do not burn a carbon on the spot ever unless it is puzzled because of its own status. It's a psul begufa. So now, if Rav is wrong, then everything works out fine. In other words, if a carbon Pesach that was brought in this fashion, you did not say, well, this is no longer a carbon Pesach because it doesn't have any owners, so now it is a carbon Shlomi, right? Because that's really what should happen. A Pesach that has no owners becomes a Shlomi. So then if you tell me that, generally speaking, in order to turn a Pesach into a Shlomim, I need to announce this Pesach is hereby a Shlomim, so then this makes sense, because until I make that announcement, this is a Pesach, and therefore if I shecht it, it's a Pesach, and it's a Pesach because it has no owner, because give it a Lesley Balim, that's why I need to burn it up right on the spot, because it's a Psula Guf, right? But Ela Yamrit Lobo Yakira, if you're telling me that Rav claims you do not need Akira, that would mean what happened as soon as the last guy deregistered from the carbon? The deal was that it suddenly becomes a Shlomim. So then why in the world is it possible? Remember, Aliba de Rabbi Yeshua, shechting something else for a Pesach is not possible. So Iyamrit Lobo Akira, so then it was the moment they got off of it, it's a kosher Shlomim. Why is it possible? Okay, it's possible, maybe because of the fact that you were over on the Isser of Mashloma. Remember, you're supposed to be shechting everything after the Korban Tumid Shalboker. And in this case, because you thought it was a Korban Pesach, you shechted it after the Tumid Shalben Arbaim. And therefore, it's not kosher. That's a big machlokas whether that makes it not kosher. But remember, as we said before, that means you can't be makrivit. Because even though you shechted, it doesn't allow you to be Zurich the Dam afterwards. It doesn't allow you to bring the Korban because you still have the Isser Essay of Ashloma. Okay, that's a big discussion. Why we're assuming it would be possible, Dafka, because some Rishonim don't hold it's possible. Minei Ubei. But it's certainly, whatever the problem is with this carbon, it's not a psul begufo. There's nothing wrong with the carbon. It's just the fact that I'm going to be unable to bring the dam and so on and so forth. So why should I burn it on the spot? I'm not allowed to burn a carbon on the spot just because I can't use it. I'm going to have to wait until it becomes ibur tzura, until it becomes noser. And that's only going to be after the zman. It's too late. Too late. You should have been makrivin. Oh, well. So at that point, you would burn it. But the whole point of the bright is burn it on the spot. So over here, psula mishumai, from some other issue, some external issue, davar acher. What was the psul? So then the halach is that you need ibur tzura. Because it says in the bright, here's the rule, guys. Zakla. Kol she psula begufo yisarif miyat. Something which is itself puzzle, in and of itself, that has to be burned on the spot. Right? So then that would be something becomes, it was Yotze, it was Tomei, it was Pigel, whatever, burn it on the spot. But if it's only an external psul, let's say there's a psul in the Bilim. What's a psul in the Bilim? The Bilim withdrew, or the Bilim became Tomei, or whatever. The Dom spilled out of the coats, or you're unable to bring the Dom because of the mitzvah of Hashlama. In any of those cases, you can't burn it on the spot. You need to wait until to Ubar Tzurato, which is our code word for allowing it to become Noser Tomei with Lina, right? It becomes Lina Lan. And we call that Ibur Tzura because generally that affects the freshness of how the meat of the carbon looks. Yetzi lebeit hasreifa, and then you take it out to the beis hasreifa. You don't burn it right now in the Azorah. So that's crazy. That means that the Braita is saying beferish that Rav is wrong. Because apparently, according to Ravuna, Rav was saying you do not need Akira, which would mean that this Korban Pesach was not a psul begufo. It was a shlomim that had some issue outside about being brought after the Tamid Shalben Arbaim. That's like Dam and Balim. I don't understand. Why does isn't that the whole point of the Braita? The whole point of the Braita is to tell me you should know that we're talking about the kind of psul over here, which if it weren't that it was Shabbos, you would have to burn it on the spot. That's the main point of the Braita. If you know how to read, don't make the mistake of thinking that you don't need Akira. That's exactly the point. You do need Akira. So how does Rav deal with this Braita? Whew, that's a big problem. Rav Huna must have misquoted Rav. What Rav actually said was that if you shech the Osham that was Nischapru Ba'alav Stam, that it wouldn't have been kosher. Rather, if you shechted it l'shum oila, it would be kosher. So all Rav was coming to tell you is, you don't need to use the money to buy an oila. Even if you shechted the animal itself, if, as long as it was nitet l'riya and there was no problem of people making the big mistake of lifnei kapara, because it's already nitet l'riya, so they'll say, oh, why is this out for pasture? Isn't this guy's osham? Isn't he worried it's going to get a mum? Oh, he's waiting for it to get a mum because of the fact that it was already nischaper. Okay, so then there's no gezerah. That's what Rav was saying, that in that case, if it was shechted as an oila b'dieved, it would be kosher. That's all that it's saying. In which case, Rav is saying that you do need akira. So in this case, ama boy akira. Wait a minute over here. Remember that we had before the nizraka mipi chabura? Uh-huh. And it says over there that Reb Chiya Bar Gamda said, Nizraka mipi chabur, that even though the Mishnah that we had before is mashma, that if you shechted the Pesach after it was already in Zman, that it's going to be posel, and we were medayik from there, that it must be that it doesn't automatically become a shlomim. And the chabura decided, says Reb Chiya Bar Gamda, no. That's because it's talking about the case that the Bilim were Tmei Mesim. And that's why it wasn't shechted at the correct time. And therefore, it was automatically not shunted over to the Shlomim lot because it was going to be used for Pesach Sheni. But under other circumstances, it would have automatically become a Shlomim, right? So then it's clear that that's the only time it needs Akira Bepeh is where it was going to be used for Pesach Sheni. But under normal circumstances, you don't need Akira. So now I don't understand. So now that means that Rav was right the first time around and that actually you do not need to do Akira. So now what? Okay, you know what? Maybe the point is that when the Braita said that you need to, you would have bechol, you would have burned it on the spot. You know what it's talking about? A whole different problem. And that is called the problem of dichui. Remember that there's an idea, which is called dichui, that once a carbon was near it, once something was usable, it's not only dinin karbonos, it has to do with mitzvahs all over, and it's a question whether yesh dichui be mitzvahs and so on. But once something was ro'i, and then something happened to make it not ro'i, you can't, by fixing it, make it ro'i again. That's called dichui. And that was the problem of, you know what the Braita was talking about over here? It was talking about a case where you had made your Korban Pesach, you said, Hare zeh lepischi. And this was before Chatzos. And that means that at the moment of Chatzos, when it's ready to be brought as the Korban Pesach, it is called nir'eh. Nir'eh means, okay, we've got ourselves a suitable Pesach. It is hereby a suitable Pesach. Fine. Now, everybody dies. And they all die after Chatzos. At this point, the carbon is nidcha. And once a carbon is nira and then nidcha, you can never use it again. And therefore, the problem over here is dichui. And since it is nidcha, that's why we're saying, because you're never going to be able to use it as anything. Can you use it as shlomim in this case? Therefore, we were saying you should have burned it. That's what the Braita was saying. You should have burned it on the spot the moment that that happened. And therefore, it's a completely different issue. So, kol anira v'nidcha shuv v'nechozer v'nira, and that explains it. Excuse me, that does not explain it. You're trying to explain it according to Rav, aren't you? You're trying to make it work according to Rav. Well, it's not a very good explanation according to Rav. Rav said beferish, amara bale chayim enam nidachim. Dichui doesn't work on living objects because living is that weird quantum state and therefore you can't make it nidcha. It isn't what it was. And therefore, how are you using a teretz of dichui on something that's alive? All right, all right. I'll find another answer. You know what? The Braita is going according to Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer holds that if you shecht other things for a carbon Pesach, then it's possible. That's the problem. So therefore, even if the Pesach does automatically become a shlomim, like Rav says, and it doesn't require Akira, it's a psula begufa, because you shecht it as a Karman Pesach, and Rebbe Eliezer holds a Karman Pesach as possible. Ha! Can't be Rebbe Eliezer, silly. Because Rebbe Eliezer does not hold the Torah b'dvar mitzvah, and over here it says you'd be potter. And the Braita is just adding you'd have to burn it, but you wouldn't be putter. According to Rebbe Eliezer, that's only true according to Rebbe Yeshua. Rebbe Eliezer holds, how less than Rebbe Eliezer Torah b'dvar mitzvah putter. Ooh, right, okay. Ah, but I do have an answer. Suppose we find somebody who holds like Rebbe Eliezer that a korban is possible if it's brought as a Pesach, but also holds like Rebbe Yeshua that Torah b'dvar mitzvah is putter. I got it. I know who that is. Tirgum of Rav Yosef, brother of Salah Hasidah, commander of Papa. You know the price is going according to. It's going according to Yosef ben Chonai. Because the Mishnah in Zvachim says that Yosef ben Chonai Omer, Nishchatim l'shem Pesach l'shem Chatas are psulim. So in other words, according to him, it's a psul begufo. And according to him, because of that, the Braita says, you'd have to burn it right on the spot if it were not that it was Shabbos today. Now, when it comes to the question of whether there's a din of Teyeh B'dvar Mitzvah, your potter, Yosef ben Chonai agrees with Rabbi Yeshua, who holds it as potter. So it matches his shita. Listen, man, this is not some way out of nowhere shita. This is a shita that's mentioned in the Mishnah in Zvachim. It's perfectly agreeable that the Braita is going according to him, in which case, even though it doesn't need Akira, it would actually, in this case, make perfectly good sense. It's possible because of the fact that it doesn't need Akira. What? Yes, that's the whole point. It's puzzle because since it didn't need Akira, so it became a carbon shlomim. And according to Rabbi Yosef ben Chonai, if it became a shlomim and you shecht it for Pesach, it's a psul begufo. Therefore, you'd have to burn it right away. So what you thought was a problem in Rav is a solution in Rav. And that is the beautiful ending of our Perek Hadran Alach, Perek Elu Devarim.